I won't preach long, but you still better sit, I suppose. I can't tell you what an honor it is to have this and to literally bring Paula home to the neighborhood where she and Larry grew up, right down the street, although there's a detour in the middle of the street right now, is our Center for Action and Contemplation, where Paula would visit us many times and remind us that that was her childhood home. She'd take us to the bedrooms and the living room where each of them grew up and would tell us beautiful and sentimental stories about her upbringing. And then remind us that Gonzales Street, down the street, is named after the family. So we think of you, we think of the Gonzales family, Larry, constantly. I feel I have not only some very grateful connections with Paula personally, through incidents like that, but with the whole community of the Sisters of Charity of Cincinnati. I myself was taught by your cousins, the Sisters of Charity of Leavenworth in Kansas, where I grew up. And then, of course, went to Cincinnati and was ordained in 70 and made my very first recordings at Mount St. Joe's in 1973 at the urging of Sister Pat Brockman and Ursuline. And little did I think that those early recordings called The Great Themes of Scripture, done at Mount St. Joe's in Delhi, Ohio, would change my life and hopefully aid the lives of others. Paula was really the wave, and I have to call it that, that brought what we thought was the Franciscan tradition, forgive me, but she really was more Franciscan than a lot of Franciscans, this honoring of God in creation, in animals, in the earth. She is a central part, I believe, of the wave that brought this to the 20th century. Because let's be honest, it was largely ignored and denied. She was our own Teilhard de Chardin. She was our own Thomas Berry. She was our own St. Francis. She was our own Hildegard of Bingen. But it's a shame that I can mention those few people in one little moment, because they weren't, I'm sad to say, the mainline tradition. We mostly tried to find God through books. And let's be honest about that. People who went off to seminaries and universities and read books and studied books and came to doctrinal conclusions through books were expected to be our teachers. And we might add, they were almost always men. Now, there's nothing wrong with us guys, but we did, maybe there is, I don't know, but we did have a bias toward theories, theologies, ideas. And the rubber seldom hit the road. And I think it took women like Hildegard, it took women like Paula, to bring our huge theological, metaphysical, transactional theories of theology down to earth. And to recognize, as the first Franciscan said, the first Bible is creation. And if we would not honor and live in awe and wonder before the earth on which every one of us lives and stands, we would probably, and that's exactly what we did, murder and mangle and manipulate the second Bible of written words. Those first tapes I made at Mount St. Joe's were trying to get Catholics interested in the Bible, because for the most part they aren't. But unfortunately, even that interest in the Bible became something argumentative, something about which you could be right and prove other people wrong. But Francis, Hildegard, Teilhard, Paula, they told us that the first interface was with what is right in front of us and all around us. And if we can't see the graciousness of God in all of creation and recognize that everything your eyes have ever seen are the self-emptying of God, to reveal God's self. You can't be lonely anymore when you live in such a universe. I can't imagine how anyone could be successfully or happily celibate unless they learn to love these creatures that are all around us. And she did. She didn't just love ideas. She loved what might be the primal and primary theology of all, the first creation. The very first two lines of the Bible picture God in very feminine form, although the way the verb is translated doesn't usually communicate that. It says the Spirit hovered over chaos. So we have the coming together of the Big Bang, as we now call it, what we call the first incarnation. But the verb that is used there, it's a quite beautiful one, and it's used for a brood hen, a mother who's protecting her eggs and protecting her chicks and wafting them into warmth and wholeness. You would have thought, with such a beginning to the Bible, Christians or Catholics would have been the first people to believe in evolution. Because the first two verses of the Bible are evolutionary. Huh? God is creating something that's unfolding, and now you and I come along, we think maybe 14, 13 billion years later, and recognize that this unfolding has never stopped. And this unfolding is all to the glory of God. And yet you and I live in a century that has probably done more to undo this creation by constant ravaging pollution. I read a book recently of the history of hunting from the East Coast to the West Coast, how the white man just came and just kept killing animals as he moved west. Because animals weren't divine creatures. They weren't a revelation of the mystery of God. Even though our own Thomas Aquinas, even though he was a Dominican, he still said that every creature represents another facet of the mystery of God. And all of the creatures together represent the wholeness of God, not just humans. And maybe the reason we humans didn't do so well is because we didn't know how to honor the presence, the incarnation, the body of Christ, use whatever word you want, in all of the creatures. Brothers and sisters, what Paula lived is, I think, the recognition that either God is in all things or God ends up being in nothing. And that's the secular world we live in now. I think Paula was not just a prophet. Was not just an endlessly energetic woman for good things. I remember the members of New Jerusalem used to quote this sister of charity over on the west side of town, who's turning everything upside down by her passion for the earth and by her willingness to work for what she loved so much. I believe, and this might be a new word for many of us Christians, but it shouldn't be, I believe she was a bit of a shaman. And let me describe that word. It shouldn't be an unusual word. A shaman was someone who left this visible world, went into the deeper world, call it the unconscious, call it the spiritual world, call it the inner world, I don't care. But then came back into the world as we see it to tell us that the two worlds are one. That the spiritual world is not different than the physical world. That's the meaning of the incarnation, which should be the trump card of the Christian religion. And yet, let's be honest, it hasn't been. And so it took us this long to begin to hear people like Teilhard and Thomas Berry and Francis and Paula and Hildegard to say, oh my God, there were a few people all along the way who got it. It's one world. It's one world. Psychic and physical. Spiritual and material. And the shamans are those who put it back together. So we gather in gratitude for a woman who put it back together with such energy and such excitement and such positivity. She chided me more than once, not in a cruel way at all. But she said, "Richard, I think you should talk a little more about earth care." And I said, "Oh, I should. And yet there's so many issues of justice, and somehow I have to talk about all of them." And yet she'd come back and she'd say, "But remember, the earth itself is the one issue we all, without any exception of any religion, or any culture, or any ethnicity, or any gender, we're all standing on this same primal incarnation that we call Earth." And wouldn't it be amazing, maybe not amazing at all, if it's our recognition of the Earth itself, the universe itself, as the body of Christ? Let me ask you, what else could it be? What else could it be? What else could the universe be but the manifestation of God? And our Christian word for that is the body of Christ. So we thank you, Paula. We know you're here with us. I hope you're happy with the few words I said. We're so impressed how beautiful you were as a young woman. We're looking at your picture. But we know, those of us who knew you in your old age, you were beautiful then too. Because you glowed with caring. With caring for everything. Not just Catholics, not just white folks, not just people on the west side of Cincinnati, but God's universe. Paula Gonzalez, you were a universal woman. And we gather here in gratitude for sharing with us your universal vision.